This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, this is the evening edition. I'm Uma Pagan Ampake Pagan. PKR's political maneuvering in Selangor has been front and centre in the news. The rhetoric has been running high. Straight answers have been hard to come by. The whole fiasco, if you'd permit that word, has been a case of ruin upon ruin, rout on rout, confusion, worse, confounded. In an attempt at clearing up the issue, we on the evening edition decided to go to the man at the centre of it all, Dato' Sri Anwar Ibrahim, the leader of the opposition and his party's nominee for the upcoming Kajang by-election. I guess the purpose of this chat is basically we figured that there needs to be a meeting point between the public's perception of what of the narrative that's going on in Kajang and what the political reality is. And so I wanted to start off by asking you, there seems to be a deficit in honesty and transparency in our politics in general. And I think this issue in Kajang kind of reinforced that notion further because the general perception has been, trust us, we know what we're doing what's best for you. And I think people have put up with that for so long that they don't want to take it anymore. So if I want to ask you right off the bat, if you were to give us a straight answer as to what's happening in Kajang, what would that straight answer be?
Yeah, I think that just to clarify this, or at least to answer to these concerns expressed, I've made it very clear that yes, we owe it to the people of Kajang or Selangor or Malaysians an explanation. But to suggest that it is not transparent or not retelling through, that's not right. I mean, of course, there's a small pocket that either wants me or wants Khalid or against us, but that's immaterial. The issue is this was a consensus reach, and particularly finalists between me and Khalid also. Why do we need to move? Is that the problem, the economic management? No. Is it purely an issue of party differences? I mean, if a party difference does not compel me to contest, okay? The issue is whether we should continue to assume that Selangor can perform and enough to be considered as a model state and challenge Putrajaya, or to move on enhancing our economic performance and being able to mobilize the political force within Selangor. And that is why the decision for me to enter.
I will get back to the internal party bits in a little while, but I just to stay on this issue of the reasons behind this move in Kajang. I think a lot of people in the public perception out there is that it feels like political gamesmanship, in that it's a necessary step towards Putrajaya, we're doing what's necessary to strengthen the party, and the voters become a pawn in this kind of political game. So are you afraid that people will become tired of this sort of political meddling? And are you afraid it's going to show up the polls?
People are not necessarily the intellectual cynics, okay, that some of us do articulate quite well. See? But what is the agenda? The agenda is a people's agenda. I mean, what is it? It is education. It is public health. But more critical is a resounding yes from the people of Selangor to put a stop to this racist slurs, religious bigotry, that putting the people of Selangor at ransom. And this, we say, has to stop. Now, is this a personal agenda? Is this a Pakatan agenda? Or is this something that need and must be done? Why did we do it after the call for national consensus? And precisely this. We want to show that, you know, we want to exhaust all avenues, discuss with the BN. But this issue affect, I mean, I was in Penang, I was here in Selangor. The minorities, the Chinese, the Indians, of course, the Dayaks, the Kadazans, feel now that their whole belief or the issue of freedom of faith is being challenged or questioned. You talk to the Malays. I was in the Surau in Taman Muhibbah. They say, why are they making too many demands? Why are the Christians a bit too loud now? You see? So you have a situation by the incessant propaganda in the UMNO control media to suggest that the Malays are under siege. And now the Chinese, the Indians are being threatened. Now, I think It's time that we have a clear message. Now they say, well, you don't need to be Menteri Besar to do that.
Or even an adun.
Or even for an adun. But I say you have to lead. To be in the leadership team in the government, to be really effective.
But Dato Sri, you are already a politician on a national level, and these are national level issues.
Yes.
So how does, not to underplay the importance of being an adun in Kajang, but how does being an adun in Kajang add to that discourse?
I said state leadership or in a team, where the exact position or this will have to be discussed, we have to reach a consensus, you know, deference to the Sultan, etc., etc. But you must be in an effective position. Okay, you can say, they can say you can influence the direction, but then you have to really be able to be effective. And I think if you do explain this to the people of Kajang, of course, the people of Kajang wants to know about the traffic, the roads.
Of course, they have internal issues.
There are also the which you have to address. This is between Kuala Lumpur and Putrajaya, by the way, you see. And the infrastructure is, of course, much more need to be done. To be desired. But the national issue relevant because I think we need to put a check on this. Now, if you do explain this to the people, okay, they say, oh, why can't it be done now? There is a limit. There is, Khalid can be effective in some way, but there is a limit what he can do. And for example, and that's why I think he is amenable to the idea, in fact, volunteered to be the director of elections just to prove a point. Say, look, I am there to make sure that Anwar wins.
We'll discuss the internal, the various actors in this game in a bit, but you've mentioned multiple times in multiple interviews that the rising racial and religious tensions were part of the reason. But yet neither the Prime Minister nor yourself has actually come out very strongly about, say, the Kalima Allah issue. Mm. Are you willing to go on the record and make a stand on that?
This is the problem, which I think with some of the actually intellectual cynics. I don't know whether they either read only Utusan or our full complete statement. I mean, you cannot expect a leader of Pakatan to come out that pronounced, effective, strong voice than this. And I do not want to just appease the Christians and lose out the Malay base. So what we say, we have to say what is right. What is right? Our position in Pakatan is there is a right of Malaysians, including the Christians, to use the word Allah. This was 2010. Okay? Of course, it's not covered by the mainstream media, but it was well covered. And we in the elections, we had to. And me personally, and PAS, I got to pay the brunt because they use this through some religious authorities to hammer us. Did we withdraw? No. We did, in fact, reiterate the point, reinforce our position. So why is there, see, that there is still ambiguity in our position? You know? Okay, they want us to condemn the religious authorities or the religious department. Yeah? Because to them, it does not matter. We have to articulate a position that they like to hear. Does not matter whether we can effectively resolve the issue or dismantle it. I think my duty in the leadership of Pakatan is to make sure we take a clear position, but the manner it's done, it must be able to be resolved finally. That is why when there were aduns talking about, let us amend. I say, look, you talk about amendment, when half the population, more than half the population, are supportive of the agenda. So you have to actually explain. But what you need to stop now is the enforcement. That is no compromise. But then, how do you then take a position? Then you have to explain. I was in this, we have to deal with specific case dealing. I was in the surah last night, for example, Tamam Yuba. You see, why are we tough against the Christians out to proselytize their religion, buy people out? I said, do you have evidence? Why don't you condemn the Christians who distribute the Bibles to Malay schools? I said, we have laws to that effect. I said, but the response should be to enforce that particular law, not to go and confiscate their Bibles. I mean, this dialogue we have to do, you see, because if we are not able to win over their hearts and minds, however much our rhetoric or statement or condemnation is going to help. But of course, you say that we draw the line. How do we draw the line? We say we are back to 2010 decision that we cannot disallow, not because we want to appease the non-Muslim, because we believe that is the right position and we can defend it even Islamically.
Now, this move, both national reconciliation, the one that the olive branch you extended to the Prime Minister, as well as what's happening in Kajang, seems to have set in motion a chain of events with regards to PAS and DAP as well. So yesterday, the Pasir Mas MP had said that you need to make clear your steps towards what it means to be national reconciliation, what national reconciliation means. Do you have those steps in mind? Is that part of your campaign agenda?
Well, I think to be fair, Nick Abdul is a bit more, cautious in his remarks. He's asking for explanation.
Yeah, he said it shouldn't just be a political project that confuses people.
Unlike some of the other parts, stalwarts are tougher on that. But what they fail to realise that this was discussed in the Pakatan Leadership Council. You see, that in August, we issued the first statement calling for a dialogue on the 4 points. In August last year. Okay. Now, of course, I crafted it as to achieving it. Why should a dialogue be held? To achieve a national consensus. On what issue? On issues clear in the guarantees in the constitution, or race, on the position of religion, or race. And then, of course, I included the issue of endemic corruption and also on the increasing crime rate. I think this was quite well spelled out, because the national consensus statement is a 3-page statement. It's not an ordinary statement. I would suggest that I would probably have to speak to Ustaz Hadi to probably get across to his key members to explain what is at stake. Well, some are confused about the unity government. Hey, unity government, you ask PAS. There's nothing to do with Pakatan. And our position is not unity government. Our position is national consensus. Not only did we deliberate this in the Pakatan Council meetings, but also I did discuss privately with Abdul Hadi and also Kit Siang.
And when it comes to Kajang then, a lot of the PAS members or PAS youth and a couple of the members have said, we'll support your candidacy, but no further. I mean, we won't support you as Menteri Besar. I mean, what happens then if crucial component parties decide that they're not going to support your bid for Menteri Besar, for example?
Kadilan and DAP has been very firm on this in support, but then PAS has not. I don't normally, as a practice, respond to these statements. The late Harun Taib, for example, has been very vociferous in his criticism of me and Pakatan every month in the Utusan. I have not responded because I think if you want the coalition to work, then you have to have some, not only decorum, but people like me have to have exercised a lot of constraint and patience. So I think I will stick to that, because whatever need to be decided, then we'll have to have the correct forum. But I'll be the last to say to suggest that they shouldn't speak, because I observe democratic space.
Of course.
So they can speak.
But if you
take, for example, you go and challenge Anwar on everything, and then if I can't start responding, then there will be hurrah for the UMNO control media, and it will not augur well in the spirit of coalition. Normally, coalition, the top leadership has to exercise a lot of constraint and debate it in the correct forum.
But do you have an opinion as to why they've taken such a hard stand on this issue and saying, oh, candidacy is fine, MB, that will... I mean, it seems a little out of the ordinary.
Yes, a few of them. I mean, quite a number of them have also talked to me to say they want an effective regime. You know, see some of their speeches in the campaign to be very, very positive. I can't complain because, I've seen Kajang, and I've seen that the entire force of DDAP and PAS has been there helping. So, I mean, I can't really say that, one or two of these voices actually reflect the sentiment of the party. Because on the ground, I've been in 6-7 places already, and they've been very, 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 not only supportive, but there's an all-out effort to secure my victory.
When it comes to the actual by-election, what if BN says this is a waste of electoral resources and doesn't field the candidate? What does that do for Pakatan's credibility and PKR's credibility?
What? If they decide not to contest for a number of reasons, but they think there's a stronghold of Kadil and Pakatan, or nobody would take seriously that UMNO is really concerned about wastage. But assuming that is an argument, I would welcome that. But I'm sure, as in the case of Pananti by-election in Penang, they supported an independent candidate. And I think they would continue to do that.
But do you think it affects the party's credibility or the coalition's credibility?
I don't believe so, because they think, firstly, is Anwar there, and they don't think they're going to make it easy for me. I even hear some leading UMNO guys, even ex UMNO leaders or finance minister, who would now have this hysteria against the possibility of Anwar at the helm of the state government, and what impact or ramifications it has to UMNO in Selangor and nationwide. So I don't think we should consider this an easy go. I mean, they will contest. Even if they don't, millions of ringgit will be spent. They may say they want to save funds, but you can see they have gone down. The Deputy Prime Minister was there, the information UMNO chief were there, campaigning to control food prices.
So let's talk about the big job at hand, right? The Menteri Besar post. Let's talk about Tan Sri Khalid for a second. I guess in 2008, he had that credibility of governance that Pakatan Rakyat needed. So he was appointed as MB. He's accumulated and a very good job. He's accumulated over 3 billion ringgit in reserves, something altogether unheard of when BN ran the state. Isn't that track record precisely what you're looking for? Isn't that what you're proposing and have proposed in charamas and interviews?
Yeah. But what? How do you assess? I mean, is it a success? But this is not a flawed argument to suggest that a test of good governance is only on the reserves. I mean, I had the reserves when finance minister, but I don't think you should say Anwar was successful because of the surplus. You see, because publicly I've said that the surplus should not include road maintenance funds, which should have been disbursed by the end of the year, which goes about close to half a billion. It's good that we have the reserves, because then we can talk about how to disburse effectively. So Khalid has done remarkably well in terms of managing it and controlling it. But there are, of course, other issues in terms of dealing with poverty, about transportation, public housing, education, and also the issue of now some protracted negotiations such as the water agreement. So I think there are also issues. But more pressing to my mind is beyond this, because I think Khalid should be credited, because taking over from UMNO, of course, is tough, because they are used to that sort of culture and doing it, and so he has to do it, and he did remarkably well. But we got to go beyond it. And so that's why I say our agenda, and he has said that. I think, to be fair, he mentioned that well during the launch of the campaign. They said that the economy, but now we need an effective political leadership to mobilize and get back the entire Pakatan Rakyat agenda on track.
And Tan Sri Khalid is not capable of mobilizing that agenda?
He always says, I'm not a politician in that regard. I'm focused more on the economics. So I think we should be able to utilize that fully to be able to have him. But he needs assistance in terms of mobilization. And look at the water agreement, look at some of the other issues. I mean, it's not fair for me to highlight the issues that is not being handled or dealt with, particularly the challenges when it comes to the cowhead and then the church and the Bible. And you see, we've been severely criticized. Of course, now, rough criticism that we had from this intellectual cynic, they've completely erased that. But they were, at the time when they had that, they fired me. I was not able to do enough in Selangor. in dealing with the issue of JAIS, dealing with the issue of the various challenges. And we anticipate, and Khalid is, of course, aware that they will mount a more crude, rough attack against us in the next month.
So, if we could address that, actually, and some of the rumors and hearsay and conspiracy theories that are going on. One of the conspiracy theories that I've heard is that UMNO is trying to destabilize Pakatan from within, if you will, from within Selangor. Are you worried that you can't trust those in your Selangor government at the moment? Are you worried that you can't trust Khalid?
No. Khalid has been a very close... Khalid is a close personal friend of mine. I mean, I must confess to that. A very, very close family friend. One of my closest associates. So I think it is not fair to cast that sort of aspersions against him. And he was never interested to be in that position. I persuaded he took the helm, and he did remarkably well. But the issue at hand is this obsession of UMNO to continue to play this race card and trying to deflect from substantive economic issues. And I think we must get back on track. And I have no qualms about having him continue playing that economic role effectively.
Now, talking about the money, because that's something that keeps coming up in discourse as well after the whole Kajang move. It is my understanding that Tan Sri Khalid, I guess, operates as a state guy rather than a party guy. And given the state of Malaysian political financing, in that he lends very little financial assistance to the party that got him there, given the funding realities. Now, is that one of the reasons for the move? Because I think a lot of people are concerned as to what will happen to the 3 billion ringgit in reserves, and will that get funneled towards party funds?
I think it's not only concern; it's an insult to intelligence and you know our credibility. I mean, I was finance minister for 8 years. I could have amassed enough wealth, if that's the issue. Then they say, "Oh, you know, we'll finish the 3 billion." I mean, what you know, this is a problem. I mean, some of course is not Khalid, but some of his cohorts also do that for a number of reasons, and I think you see, I know for a fact that Khalid has been extremely helpful. He's not in the leadership of the party in that sense, but he's in the political bureau. But he was very helpful to not the state but also to the party. I wouldn't be honest if I say he's not as articulate as a politician should be in terms of engaging. It's not a matter of buying people, you know. And I think, the cynics are wrong when we say you have to engage. How do you win over a state if you don't have a party machinery? So you cannot ignore the importance of working in the party. It would be absurd to talk about, you know, 10 people, bright people can determine the future of the country. No, you have to. But how do you then, you engage with them. This issue of engagement that's being criticized, not paying. Because when it comes to JLC position, I support him publicly. You know? But of course, this is erased. The fact, Khalid would not be able to withhold or control state for 6 years if we do not support him. We supported him, including his decision not to reward party stores unless they are really qualified. But I don't think we, at the same time, what I mean to say is that if you are qualified, you know, accountant or lawyer, you can't serve, you can. But it's not because of your party position, but because of your professional capability. So I think here, when it comes to the 3 billion, let's look at 3 billion. Half a billion is road maintenance, which means it becomes 2.5 billion now. Then look at the position of poverty or education or UNICEL. I mean, these things need to be done. You see, the strength of Khalid is being able to manage the funds well. Some need to be disbursed. Because when you have abject poverty, You can't talk about big surplus. That's why in even when I was finance minister, what did I do with the surplus? Prepay. 12 billion ringgit. Just prepay. Okay. At the time, then we start increasing funds for public health and education. And of course, rural roads at that time. I remember, I think 1 year, Johor alone, I increased the spur moment, 200 million ringgit just for rural roads because they were complaining. But without that, then the surplus would be larger. So I think, and Khalid is aware of this. You see, when we ask him why, I ask him actually why this, the money was not disbursed for the road grant, which led us to being criticised by the Auditor General. Now he says the problem was about the tender process, the civil service in terms of, and the local councils in terms of delay. But I said yes, but then first year yes, second year yes, third year no. So I think these are issues. But I don't believe that one should fault him just because of some of these issues, which is going to be bound to be against anyone, because his strength is integrity. His strength is that he's able to bring about that image of incorruptibility in the state. And that's why we need him and his services. But to assume, therefore, we want it because we want the 3 billion, just like UMNO criticism to me. It's just.
And I think that's what a lot of people are afraid of. That is beginning to look and sound like.
A lot of people. You go to Kajang, they say, Datuk, please, ada duit, and traffic tolong betulkan sikit, parit tolong cuci. That's how they want the money to be spent. You see? Not to be stolen. And I think if you preserve that principle of transparency that Khalid has put in place, then we should do it, And I think, you do it in a transparent manner and to avoid the pitfalls of the corrupt UMNO regime.
So the other, I guess, political player involved in this is, of course, Azmin Ali. It is no secret, or it's an open secret, rather, that back in 2008, the understanding was Azmin Ali was promised to be MB in Selangor, but when Khalid joined the party and Khalid became MB, Azmin has been sitting quiet since. For me, how does Azmin figure into this whole scenario? Because there are two camps. There's a Khalid camp, there's an Azmin camp. Are you the happy middle candidate fighting?
I'm the overall camp. There's always this rumor and this half-truth presented as a fact. This is also dangerous, either in media or, in ethics, to say that it was promised in 2008. Who made the promise? I don't know. Who made the promise? Certainly not me. Why do I put Khalid in the state seat? Of course, it's a known fact. In fact, I announced publicly that Khalid, even the days from Ijo, he is a potential Menteri Besar candidate. At that time, Hassan Ali resented. And that was one of the reasons why he created problems within PAS at that time. Yeah, how did it sudden, 6 years later, you say somebody else was promised MBship? I don't understand. And so, when Khalid went in from the Ijo by election.
And this was pre-08.
Pre-08. I already announced that was when Hassan resented that very much. Then, prior to the election, when I campaigned in Selangor, I named him. Yes, this is our candidate. Of course, at that time, some elements in PAS were very angry with me, but that was it. And I thought it helped because people see him as a credible candidate.
But of course, there's been a lot of political sniping from Azmin Ali's side as well, immediately after this election, just recently because of the whole PKNS scenario. So how does he actually figure into this Kajang move? I think that's what people want to know.
Sniping. Why take Keadilan as the only party having some sort of a problem? From MIC to MCA to UMNO to the component parties in Pakatan, you have that. Okay? PKNS was badly handled. Okay? And Khalid conceded that. When he briefed me, he said, yes, there was discussion. So I then called up Azmin, and during the PC, I mentioned, as far as I'm concerned, this Khalid told me that he did not give an instruction. I don't understand how an MD can write a letter. I know as finance minister all along, the corporate sector, is either the owner will decide and go through the company secretary, the list. And normally you have the decency when it comes to senior leaders, you personally write to thank, but it did not happen in this case. So it's a bit odd and certainly improper. So I said...
So you're saying it's a series of misunderstandings, is it?
No, not misunderstanding, but it was poorly handled, okay? I told both. I mean, I'm called meeting and said, look, Khalid, what's the position? He says, no, I didn't give instructions. So I take it at face value and announce that. So I think the matter's resolved. Why is that the one position in the board of PKNS becomes a national issue? That is something else because, you know, it happens to Kandilan.
But if you were to become Menteri Besar Selangor, hypothetically speaking...
I would give another interview with you.
But what role would Azmin Ali play in the Selangor government?
There was no discussion with him. Of course, we say it's open because the only discussion we had was on the position of Menteri Besar and economic advisor. Nothing beyond. People can speculate. I don't mind. But I don't find it right for people to say that, yes, there was a deal. And this was certainly wrong. I would admit, yes, with Khalid, I did discuss position of MB and position of economic advisor because I want him to continue assisting. And there was that understanding. Nothing definitive or confirmed.
You're going to be wearing many hats after this election. You will be an ADHON as well as an MP, as well as leader of the opposition, potentially Menteri Besar of Selangor. Where are your priorities going to lie?
Because ANUR has become an issue. Najib is Ketua Bahagian Pekan. I'm not. Ketua UMNO Selangor. I'm not. President of UMNO. I'm not the president of Kandilan. And Prime Minister. Chairman of Barisan Nasional, why can't ANUR be half of what Najib is doing? That's baffling to my mind. No, but I would humbly concede that I need to delegate more effectively. Of course, there's an additional burden. Fortunately, Kajang is not Ulu Rejang. Okay, I just go in. I mean, if it was at night last night, it was about 27 minutes to my house, but probably daytime a bit. It takes a bit longer. I think we can manage. We can. Inshallah, we can manage. But more important is, I have to reiterate the earlier point. What? We have to deliver. We have to stand with the rakyat. People can say it is a pakatan or keadilan agenda or personal agenda. I will prove otherwise. I will ensure that you know that every citizen of Selangor, Malay or Chinese or Indian, would feel ultimately that they have a place and they will be protected, and I will defend every single Selangor rakyat.
Before I leave you, you are assuring the public that this isn't an internal party matter that's being played out on a national scale.
I wouldn't deny that there was party issues being discussed, but I will not ever consider going to a state constituency and taking over Selangor, which I had a chance to do much earlier, okay, just to resolve so-called factional battles within the party, which is completely absent and completely irresponsible. I want to work with the team, Keadilan PAS, the AP, to deliver Selangor as a model state to propel into Putrajaya by serving the people adequately.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Dato' Sri. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Thank you.
I've been speaking to Dato' Sri Anwar Ibrahim, leader of the opposition and his party's nominee for the upcoming Kajang by-election. You're listening to the Evening Edition on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.